what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today is the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hey, Ronnie, what's going on?
Well, hello, Bean.
How are you doing today?
Sup, brah.
Sup.
I'm doing good because I have just gotten caught up with Below Deck Down Under.
Yeah. Below Deck Down Under.
I haven't seen it because of COVID. So it's been a long time since I've seen this child. A lot of nice twists on the genre. We've got, you know, the captain who's the one who never sees his kid. You know, it's like crazy. They've really gone to new places with Below Deck. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, they really have. So we've been getting a lot of requests for us to recap Down Under. And we just didn't because our schedule's been full. And it's very difficult to do two Below Decks for us at the same time. It's a really rigorous show for us to recap because it's a lot of notes and a lot of stuff to discuss. I still love it, but it was actually very nice that we were just, you know, to be able just to watch this show instead of having to like take notes while watching it. And I've been absolutely loving Down Under, and it's been such a wild season. And we had a little spot on our schedule this week, so we figured, why not? Why not? Let's like have a moment to talk Below Deck Down Under. There's been a lot of ineptitude on this boat. Like almost everyone, I think with the exception of Aisha, has been terrible. Like everyone has fucked up. There've just been so many, and Culver seemed to be all right, and now he's fucking up too. Maybe Bertini is okay, but it's been a whole season of me shaking my head.
And you know, and we're so lucky. We have shitty luck. Okay, we're like let's finally cover an episode of Below Deck Down Under. Well, they just got rid of Chef Ryan and Magda, who were like the funniest things on this show. So it's like, wow, okay, great. Now we can just watch a new semi-hot kind of talented maybe person do this. So I think we should talk about the whole season because we don't need like a solid recap of one episode for the whole season. So I think we should just like go over the season because this is just too good.
Yeah.
To miss. I mean, ever since Magda has been on, I've been going around the house saying, oh my God, my telephone! Where's telephone? My boyfriend will break up with me! Oh my God, my boyfriend think I'm cheating! Where's my phone? Just sobbing all over my house, looking for my imaginary phone. And every time somebody tells me something I don't like, I say, but my boyfriend... But my boyfriend, what will my boyfriend think? I'm sorry you don't like, but I'm a model. So sometimes people just have problems with me because I'm a model.
Yeah, Magda has a really high sense of self, and she really believes that she's an excellent stew. And yeah, she came on the boat. She's like, well, I work on boats, but I also am a model. You might see me in Penny Saver Centerfold Swimsuit Edition. I don't know. But I'm model and I have boyfriend in Poland. And I love to talk to him late at night for all 24 hours.
Yes. And her conversations with her boyfriend go like this. Hello, boyfriend. Yes, hello, girlfriend. What are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing? You better not be talking to girl. No, you better not be talking to boy. Are you talking to girl? Oh my God, my phone, my boyfriend. Oh. And then she runs around worried that her boyfriend's cheating or worried that he's going to think she's cheating. But then she's totally trying to get on Chef, the disgusting piece of shit Chef, Ryan.
Right. Like, of course, the only one who really seems to be into Ryan is Magda. There was a moment when Toomey, oh, by the way, Toomey is the only one who hasn't fucked up. Toomey is amazing. I love Toomey. And, you know, at the end of this latest episode, she was talking about that there might be an opportunity, like, to be on a boat in the south of France. And I am praying that she, like, is taken on to Below Deck Med. Like, I would love if Toomey were the chief stew in Below Deck Med, because that would be, like, I love, love, love Toomey. But either way.
Yeah, Toomey's great.
There was, like, a moment where Toomey was like, you know, I like Ryan because, you know, I see a tortured soul and I like to fix people. And I was like, no, don't you dare to me. Do not go near that chef. That chef is toxic and you're wonderful. Do not get drawn into his fucking pathetic games. Okay. And luckily she did. She really didn't. Instead, Magda kind of took over that role.
Yeah. Magda kind of did, because Ryan just was too much. I mean, geez, this guy. Okay. First of all, he sucks at what he does. Okay. He sucks as a person. But he's also just a terrible chef. I mean, he was sending it. His final thing was like a pasta that didn't have salt or something.
Yeah.
It was like just bad, bad stuff. And whenever anybody said anything, he'd be like, fucking idiots. Yeah. And they had one of his last charters was a charter of British people, and they wanted a high tea thing for fun. And he's like, fucking sounds British to me, stupid idiots. Would you just want some sandwiches without the fucking crust? Fucking morons. Cut. You know what British people are? Tasteless. Yeah. Stupid British people. Dad, yeah. Want a fingernail? British idiot.
Yeah, he was like, this is so stupid. I talk about low class. I want to have a high tea. This is low class, stupid bullshit. I'm like, actually, high tea is considered to be incredibly high class. And people dress up and they pay a lot of money to go to hotels to like do high tea. It's like it's a fancy thing, actually. And the only thing that's low class is your version of it, which is these weird circle sandwiches that were like ham and cheese. Like, it's like so not even close to high tea. I've never really done high tea, but even I know that what the things you're supposed to do for it. I little triangle sandwiches, like cucumber and like cream cheese sandwiches. It's called Google, and he couldn't even be bothered to Google how to do high tea. And that was the whole story for him all season long, was like, I'm going to say when dinner is and I'm going to make the food for dinner. And then they just have to adjust to me. And he was just so obnoxious, but didn't have like the quality or the skill to back it up. It's like, you know what? Get your like tiny inverted dick energy out of here.
Yeah. And Aisha would be like, well, what are we going to have for breakfast? And he's like, they're having cereal. That's it.
But what if they want an omelette?
No. Tell them, fuck you. That's what. Tell them to go suck my non-British dick. How about that? It's like, wow. You're...
And then one episode, the guests were fishing and they caught a squid. And they're like, oh, can you make the squid? He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And like the squid was like in a bucket. And he like wasn't making the squid for them, and they kept asking for it, and then finally he makes it, and he makes just sort of like a fried calamari with it. I'm like, do you like not have any pride in your work? Do you not even like do you not see this and be like, oh, what a cool challenge, I want to try to do something, I want to wow them? He like does not want to wow anyone. He wants people to be wowed by him, you know?
Yeah, he sucks. And so he treated Aisha like crap the whole time. And Aisha's problem with this is kind of predictable, right? With the season, I mean. Because she's chief stew now. And so, of course, who's going to run over Aisha? Everybody. Because she's too nice, right? So right. That's kind of been her thing, is not really knowing how to deal with a monster like him. Or really like Magda, who she was pretty nice to, considering Magda sucked.
She was really nice to Magda, considering Magda kept messing up. Magda would like put gloves in her back belt, and at one point a glove fell into the toilet and she flushed it and she didn't even notice, and it clogged up the entire system and caused the toilets to overflow, and to the point where like Benny had to deal with it, and like Benny was like, oh, and we'll get to Benny, by the way. But Magda, so then they finally have to say, okay, here's the new rule, Magda. No gloves down in the living quarters. And then the very like next hour, Magda's down there with like a glove on her belt. She's like, Magda, don't you remember? No gloves down here, Magda.
One of the most frustrating things on this boat is the lack of... Stop it. Like, I kind of need a Captain Lee who's just like, fuck no, stop it, god damn it, you idiot, you moron. Because you've got Captain Jason, who, by the way, you should Google below deck down under cast and see the picture they're using for Captain Jason.
Can't really look right now.
It's like from 1990 when he, I guess, was like an actor. It looks like he's an actor. He looks like the guy from Angel, from the old show Angel.
Is this where his arm is crossed? So anyway...
It's a picture of him really, really young and hot. Oh. He looks like a movie star, like a TV star guy.
Oh, wow.
It's just the regular Google search. Yeah. You see it?
Yeah, I do.
So I love that he's just like an old dinner theater star who's like, it's me, Jason, from 1990. That's my cast picture. Thank you. But anyway, he seems like he's going to be stern and... Everyone's flirting with him because he's hot, right? Like, he's, right. like, legit hot. And everyone thinks he's going to be stern because he has this, like, disco helmet that he makes the dumb one every week wear. Like, the biggest fuck-up of the week has to wear this helmet out. And so you think he's going to be good, but he is terrible. I mean, this Magda chick got to walk around the boat literally on her phone all day long. When have we ever seen that on this show? Never seen it. You see them like go off into a corner on break and call their mom. Even when it's like dad died, you know, they're like, hold on, I need to take a break to talk to my mother for 2 minutes in the bathroom. You know, I've never seen anybody walking around the boat yapping on their fucking phone all day. How is Dr. Jason just like, no phones? Give me your phone during work hours. You can have it at break. Like, what the hell?
Well, also to the point where one of the engineers was like, so by the way, Captain Jason, Magda has been using like 95% of the ship's bandwidth, and like that alone should have been enough to say you're on thin ice. If I catch you on your phone again, you're fired. But instead she continued, like, she was reprimanded and she continued to do it, and she would be on her phone fighting with her boyfriend in her bunk while Aisha was above her trying to sleep. It was crazy. And the worst part is, so Aisha had this, you know, I take it back. Aisha did fuck up because she's like, oh, you know, so what I want to do is, so that way she feels more motivated, I want to put her on service more so I keep an eye on her. So she actually gave her more responsibility and put her in a more high-profile position as a punishment, which was just terrible because then Magda, like, she, like, there's one episode where she's holding the tray of champagne and she knocks it over as the guests come onto the boat. I mean, it's just like she was a disaster at all moments. And the fact that she just like could not do anything at all. And Aisha was so nice to her. And then Magda would turn around and be like, oh, she is so mean to me. All she does is like, do it nicer. Like, I would work better if I was led nicer.
Yes. Well, that's also a recurring theme on this season is like, but you didn't inspire me to do better. Like, what? Yeah. That's not your boss's job to make you fucking feel inspired and want to be there. Nobody fucking wants to be there. You're cleaning toilets, okay? Nobody wants to go to work. There's very, very few people who want to go to work, okay? You get paid. That's your inspiration. Shut up with that. You don't inspire me. You're not model, okay? You tell me get rid of my phone. It's not like I'm not gonna have boyfriend now. Okay, Magda. Okay, no one's telling you you can't have a boyfriend, but get off the fucking phone, lady.
Yeah, and the way that she and Ryan would conspire, and then they were like, at one point, they were just conspiring together, just talking about like how shitty Aisha is. And then Toomey overhears it and tells Aisha, it's like, they're saying this, talking shit. And Aisha's like, well, fuck you guys. And then Ryan, Ryan overhears Aisha reacting to that, and then Ryan goes up to Toomey, he's like, yeah, fuck you, you're so fucking fake. Yeah, my mistake was that I said anything to Toomey. I'm like, Toomey is the most professional person on this boat. She's the only one who actually took time to look past your 15 years of undealt with trauma to see that there might be a nice person in there, and you're gonna just spit on her like that. He's like the real life version of Good Will Hunting. Like, Good Will Hunting is the Hollywood version of that, but like, Ryan is the one. And in real life, there is no like hug with Robin Williams where you say like, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's just, you just got Ryan. That's what it is. Cause Ryan is the one who goes up onto someone on a window and goes, how about these apples? And then it's like creepy and annoying. And you're like, ew, get the fuck away from me, person at the window, you know? But like in a movie, it's cute, you know?
Yeah. He's so gross. And they all go out one night. They're doing their like party segment. They're like, yeah, woo, in a club. And someone's like, hey, there are all these drunk people. And they're like, wow, pretty girl, show us your tits. Show us your tits. Being gross, you know. And he's like, oh, yeah, you talk to women like that? You don't talk to women like, fuck you. Fuck, you don't talk to bitches like that. Who's going to talk to fucking bitches like that? What the fuck? And then so he starts getting in a fight with these guys and trying to look all badass in front of the ladies when he's been the biggest misogynist asshole the whole time.
Yeah, like when at one point Aisha was like, so how many yachts have you shipped on? And he goes, well, I don't ask you how many vacuums you've used. Just like,
yeah, totally how many toilets obnoxious. Have you cleaned?
Yeah, toilets stupid. Have you cleaned? He was like so, so vile and awful. But to be fair, I will say the one thing that I think that maybe Ryan was right about was that when Captain Jason at one point is like, so, you know what we talked about? You know, taking it up another level. So how about some, you know, some garnish, maybe some flower petals or something. It's like, okay, Jason, this, no, he wanted to put, he kept on saying like, let's put flower petals on everything. Like I can understand a chef getting annoyed with Captain Jason about that. Everything else though, Jason was right about.
Yeah. But all he was saying was like, make the food look decent. Like yeah. It's not prison. Don't just slop shit on a plate. You know, this guy was like mac and cheese. There you go. Have fun. You want an omelet? It's getting one fucking thing in it. I'm telling you that. Okay, I'm gonna let you in on something. You ain't getting a fucking omelet. All right, there's your omelet. I think he was just like, you know, people like Instagram, so maybe put something people can look at on the TikTok. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan was just like, it was just shocking how bad he was. Every single episode. There was like one episode where he actually put a little bit of an effort in. So they're all like, oh my God, he's putting an effort in. But it was just like, it was such a low bar.
It was like steak. Was it a steak or something? It was something so easy. They're like, wow, Ryan didn't spit while he was serving. That guy's really come a long way. It's like when people set the bar so low for themselves, you know? It's like he didn't tell anybody, fuck you, bitch, for 5 minutes. And they're like, wow, gold star. What's the opposite of the disco helmet we can give Ryan? Really changed, eh?
I know, it's so true. And then I think one of the terrible parts was he finally gets fired. And this new guy, Knight from Wagga Wagga, he comes in and he only has a few hours prep for the next charter. And the galley is a disaster. And it's like the areas that Ryan was supposed to be taking care of. Like everything was like had grease on it. You know, there was like buckets of strange shit. Like the whole thing was like disgusting. And you look at it as a comparison with Marcos on Sailing Yacht, where Marcos is like killing himself to try to outdo himself. Undo molecular gastronomy. Have you ever heard of it? It's when you make a potato. Tastes like a potato, but it looks like chocolate. Gastronomy.
Yeah.
But like he's like always trying to do that. And he's like always cleaning the galley. And then Ryan leaves this like shit pile of grease and like it's like kitchen nightmares. Like this is how kitchen nightmares happen, you know?
Oh God, the part of the stove where they pull out. Like the flat top, you pull it out and it's just disgusting. Like he'd never cleaned it. I mean, this is another thing that makes you think, I don't want to go on these boats. I mean, there's no health department giving you a grade. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
There's literally nobody to stop people like Ryan. You don't know what you're going to be getting. Really gross. And then when the captain did sit him down for a talk, because Aisha, this is also where Aisha failed. She's doing this thing where she wants to be liked, and so she's not tattletaling. And I know nobody really wants to be a tattletale, because probably if she did tattletale, people would be like, oh, Aisha, what a tattletale. But she wasn't really informing the captain on this stuff that was going on with Ryan at all, you know? Mm-hmm. It wasn't until the captain noticed that he's like, we have Ryan, he's got a problem. She's like, yeah, I didn't want to say anything. Well, you should, because the food sucks. He's just disrespectful and shitty to everybody, and that's kind of your job. You know?
And Ryan is so lucky that he only had to deal with Aisha, because if he'd been on with Hannah or Kate, he like would not have survived. They would have destroyed him. Kate would have just like dismantled him with passive aggression, and Hannah just would have yelled at him. She'd be like, now you listen here, honey. You better make good food, honey. You think this is good? Why pieces of shit like you? Well, I don't eat pieces of shit like you, because I don't like eating pieces of shit. But if you were served it to me, I'd be eating a piece of shit, because that's what you cook. There, I saved it. I saved my diss.
So when the captain does finally sit him down, he's like, you know, your attitude's not good. Oh, yeah, my attitude's not good. Fuck that. Well, thank God I don't work for you then. Thank God I work for the guests. but your food's not up to par. For you, thank God I'm not cooking for you, right? Right? I mean, that guy should have been. That guy should have been fired there. Weeks ago. Yeah.
I mean, I think he actually was trying to fire him because they kept on showing for several weeks. He was reaching out to Australian Norma to get a replacement, and they just couldn't find anyone. So, like, to be fair, he had been trying for weeks.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Magda also should have been fired a long time ago because she was terrible. And then also, honestly, I think Benny should have been fired. And I know that now we're at the part of the season where Benny is getting, like, redemption. But, like, Benny has been awful all season. And I don't like Jamie at all, by the way. I'm not on team Jamie. But Benny has been, like, totally not doing his work. Like, he will be given a list of things to do late at night. He does, like, three of them and is like, but I was tired and I'm not inspired to lead. You don't understand. It's like, Benny, do the fucking checklist for crying out loud.
You're not inspiring me. But Benny lost his parents both at the same time during COVID, which is so fucking sad, you know, yeah. Like, really for anybody. And so they're giving him a little leeway, you know, which I think is nice, you know.
It is nice. I mean, he's really fragile, but still.
Yes. As a person, it's like you feel really bad for him. But then as a worker, you're like, well, this isn't really a personal tragedy thing. This is like you're just a shitty worker, too. You know,
yeah.
Because that whole, like, and then he was trying to boss Brittany around in the beginning. And Brittany, we haven't talked about Brittany yet, Brittany, she's like, why can't people get it? It's like Brittany and then a martini. Like, why can't you just get it? Because your name's stupid. Okay, your name is stupid. That's why people can't get it. And also, your name is Brittany. Okay,
yeah.
That's just it. You can try and make us pronounce it however you want. It is spelled Brittany, and it is Brittany. That's it.
And she's like her main thing is that there's like not enough communication. It's like it's hard to know what's going on because Jamie doesn't talk, which is true too, because Jamie has his own bullshit. First of all, he's very condescending to all the women on the boat in general. He's definitely like a chauvinist. And then he always is feeling persecuted by the captain. Like he complains. Jamie is like passive aggressive, and then he like tattles on his own crew to the captain, and the captain sort of like shrugs, and he's like, "Oh, I guess it's just me against the captain. I was a police officer. I save people. I deserve better than this." You know, it's like, shut up, Jamie.
Yeah, but you're not one now. So what's the story there, buddy? And then he tattles on the captain to everybody else and tries to, like, form mutiny against the captain. He's like, well, Captain, you're running things very unsafely. And as a police officer, I would like you to know I do not approve. And the captain's like, how dare you? I'm very safe, and everyone will tell you. He's like, but you crashed a boat. He's like, oh, I did crash a boat into a restaurant. But it was a different circumstance. I'm actually quite safe. So it's like, you don't know. It's so hard to even choose sides on this show because everyone's got a point, you know? And the captain really does have that sad look in his eyes of someone who's crashed a boat into a restaurant. He really does. He's never going to be able to let it go. He just looks so sad. And that charter you were talking about where the guys wanted their squid cooked, that was a charter that was a guy who used to work under the captain who now is rich enough to charter his friends and go catch his own squid and stuff. And he just had that look on his face the whole time like, well, Gil used to work for me. I'm just so happy for him. And you can't cook him a squid. So
I'm happy for Gil. Which is funny that his name is Gil, because it's like a fish.
It's a made-up name. I really don't know the real name.
I know, but I'm going to go with it. I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he got such a big insurance settlement from my yacht crash that he now can actually come on the yacht as a guest. I'm happy that I did that for him.
You know, it's really a good story because Gil was almost decapitated the day that we crashed into the Chili's on the dock. And his head was almost an awesome blossom. And look at him now, you know, chartering his own boat.
If he hadn't been wearing that disco ball helmet, we may have lost him. But Jamie, there was something early in the season that really pissed me off. And I just don't remember the details of it. But basically, he was like yelling at Toomey in the hot tub. And it was so, and he was yelling at both the girls. And it was so obnoxious because there was, and on top of that, there was some issue where also like late at night, Toomey and Culver were on late night, And Culver got into the hot tub with the guest and was like playing with the guest. And Toomey was doing all the work. And then she like, I think she complained to either Jamie or there was a complaint. And then Jamie basically took Culver's side and was like, you know, it's whatever you have to do. He kind of just like dismissed Toomey as if she were just like some, you know, hysterical girl. And I just remember being like, oh, fuck you, Jamie. Like, no one does that to Toomey. Okay. You are so obnoxious. And then, of course, there was the whole bitch thing where.
Oh, that's the best. That was one of my favorite parts of the. See, the terrible people bring the good stories because this killed me, this bitch thing. I loved it.
Yeah, because basically earlier in the season, someone like Aisha was like, how you doing, bitch? And he's like, don't call me bitch. She goes, note taken. And then at another point, like I think maybe Bertini had said like, hey, bitch. He goes, don't call me a bitch. Because his whole thing is, oh, I was a police officer. I've saved people's lives and you're going to call me a bitch.
That is very triggering. So they start laughing because they're all out. And Bertini wasn't even really talking to him. She was just like, what's up, bitch? Something like that.
Yeah.
He's like, how dare you? That is triggering for me. Oh, I am a police officer. How dare you? Don't do it again. If you do it again. She's like, what, bitch? And so they're like, oh, bitch. Well, because
they made Magda. They were joking about it in the car. And then they're like, Magda, say it. So then Magda does it in a really like aggressive way. She goes, hurry up, you bitch. And so
hurry up, I have boyfriends, you bitch.
So then Jamie is pissed. But then, and you know, and in some ways, he did say, like, hey, don't call me this. I don't like it. He established a personal boundary, and they definitely fucked with him. But then he, like, festered on it for, like, 48 hours. It's like, dude, not only did he fester, but then he went and he complained to the captain. He goes, yeah, well, I think we're having some issues, you know, with Bertini. She's not, you know, she's been making fun of a bunch of the crew members. He turns it into that Bertini is mocking her coworkers, which is 100% not what happened. And it was so vile and toxic. It's like, because this is what happens in people's workplaces. This guy can't deal with it. And then now he goes and he complains and he like potentially gets someone fired.
This guy is total tiny penis syndrome. Every single thing about him, it's like he's a control freak, but then he, all he does is tattletale. He runs and he fucking tattletales. So this one, he goes to the captain, he's like, well, there were some words used, very offensive hate speech at me, very true. I was assaulted with the word bitch, the B word, the worst. And the captain's like, really? All right, well, the word was bitch. Then triggered. Oh, I'm triggered, Captain Andy. All right, well, I'll take care of it. So the captain's like, well, this guy's mad that I won't fire, you know, Ben or Benny. Yeah. So I'm gonna have a talk with Bertini so he'll feel like I'm on his side. So he goes to Bertini and he's like, now listen, we can't have language like that towards people. He felt emotionally assaulted and triggered by the word bitch. So Bertini, of course, starts sobbing all over the boat and going to everybody like, I could lose my job over this.
But then
Aisha's like, don't worry about it. He's just crunk like a bitch. And they start cracking up.
I mean, that was the irony of it, was that Jamie was being basically a bitch. And I, you know, I have my thing where I don't like, I think it's sort of like fucked up to say that if a man is being like pathetic or whatever, that we then equate them to a woman. Like, I think that's like fucked up. But that being said, understanding the way that they're saying the word bitch, I mean, he was living up to the definition of the thing that he didn't want to be, you know? So that was the best part of that. Jamie's just awful. But then Benny is terrible, and like there was, and basically Jamie and Benny got into this thing because Benny was like, you don't tell me what to do, because he was like, Benny, I need you to stand over here. He's like, you don't get to tell me what to do. I will stand over there when I want to, because he was like, they were lowering a chain, and Culver was in the tender or something, and he's like, Benny, hold on. He's like, I see him, and it became like a whole thing. He's like, I've had enough. So they have like a. They had like came to a head where they had to like sit down with Captain Jason and decide like, will Benny be fired?
And Benny, that part where Benny was like, oh my God, he's bossing Brittini around, right? So Brittini's like, you need to boss me around. I'm a strong woman. He's like, but like, I'm a guy and I understand things. So you have to do what I say. She's like, no, I don't. You better respect me. So he has this whole moment, right, where he's being a total asshole. And then they're like, all right, Benny, we need you to crawl into the engine room or whatever. Oh, yeah. Was it the engine room or the anchor room or whatever?
In the season, they had this weird ass anchor that when the train comes up, they need to take this like little pole thing, this little rod, and they've got to like make sure the chain goes in like a circle when as it comes in, it wraps around properly. So they have to go in this tiny little space. And Benny is like deathly afraid of it. And
I can't do it, guys.
I could die in there. You know how quickly it goes? I could literally die in there. And he's like, I can't. I almost died. He's like freaking out. And they keep showing throughout the entire season, Brittini and Culver, and they're like without a problem, just like bloop, bloop, bloop. And Brittini's like, no, it's going to eat me.
So funny. So the one we really haven't talked about yet is Culver Bradbury. I'm a deckhand. Yahoo! My family has a farm in Maryland.
That's right.
What is
I have this southern accent, but I'm from Maryland. Because that's where my mom, Kim, also known as Chef Kim, that's what we call her. That's where she, hold on, I'm getting a call from my parents. Hi, Mom and Dad. So good to see you. Yeah, everyone thinks I'm funny with my mullets. Talk to you later. Anyway, back to you, Ronnie.
Yeah, God. So Culver is cute, you know, he's a really cute guy. And he's also, of course, Jamie just trusts everything Culver says and doesn't come up against Culver because he's another worked out cute guy. I mean, yeah. I think that that's like the code. Like he's going to go after Benny all the time because Benny's like kind of a nerdy weakling, but he's never going to fuck with Culver, even though Culver has been a worse offender. He's been like, make sure the trash is taken out, Culver. And Culver's like, yeah, all right, I got it. And then just doesn't. And then there's maggots all over the boat.
There were maggots on the boat. And then like they get in trouble. And then Jamie is like, who did this? And then Culver doesn't say anything. He just stands there. I'm like, what the fuck, Culver?
And he knows it's Culver. And that's why I say it's like hot guy code or like, you know, muscle hot code. Adjacent jock code or whatever. Code. Right, bro code. He's like, he knows that Culver did it. And he asks Culver and Culver denies it. But he knows that he's lying. And so the captain's like, well, someone's got to take the fall for it. And Jamie, since you're the boss, you get to decide. You can make who actually did it take the fall or you can take the fall. And Jamie's like, but he's hot, so I'll take the fall. What? What? How are you doing that when you're like mopping the floor with Benny, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so now, and Culver, I mean, he seems really nice, but like he totally is getting a pass on so many things. I thought the garbage thing was crazy. And then now all of a sudden, Culver is of the school that mullets are still funny. So he has the Kyle mullet from Summer House, and he brings it out. He's like, hey everyone, it's whatever. I didn't even commit to memory my party persona, and I think that's okay for all of America that we don't remember it, because here I am in a mullet, guys. Here I am. I'm like, oh God, the mullet guy.
Oh, Culver. Yeah. And so Brittini has like a huge crush on Culver, and Culver is very much like, well, she's a girl on a boat, and I'm on a boat, so, you know, I mean, that's her, and here's me. Like, there's no chemistry. There's no indication, I don't think, that this guy is into her. And so Brittini's whole thing is like, I'm going to talk to him about my feelings now. Don't do this to yourself. Do you want to drive around in a van together? Because that's like what we do. Like, I'm a van person. So like, if you want to travel around in a van with me, that's what we're going to do, all right?
He's like, I guess so.
He just wants to go back to the farm and play with golden retrievers. What are you talking about, Brittini? Like for some reason, there's a thing on Below Deck where like there's this strange post Below Deck nomad land connection where everyone, there's like always could be someone's like, let's get into a van. It was like Adam the Chef. Yeah, we're gonna get into a van and drive around and be real. And I don't know what
the... And Aisha. I mean, that's Aisha's
Aisha,
thing.
Everyone.
She's with her boy. She's with, like, the love of her life in a van. She had one of my favorite lines of the season, because she's like, until you've shit in a bucket in front of somebody in a van and still been attracted to them, you don't know love. Something like that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, basically, Bertini, I feel like, has hatched this van plan. Maybe Culver did. Maybe Culver said it as a joke and she just like latched onto it. But yeah, she's been like really trying to make something happen. And he's just like, uh-huh. And he keeps like looking away and being like, I'm not interested. And that kind of like brings us to like the latest episode, because the latest charter guest, it's this girl named Jordy. And she's awful. I feel like we have met her before. Like I don't want to say that she's a universal type, but if you've been in LA, she is a definite LA type. There's a certain type of girl in LA that you meet who's like, Oh my God, I just went to Venice. I got the most amazing, cute scarf and I'm going to do yoga tomorrow. And I just want to cleanse myself. I don't eat meat. I'm only like vegan or vegetarian. Sometimes I'll have some salmon, but that is it. And I do not drink. And then the second later, yeah, let's get bottle service. Oh my God, bottle service? Can we get some sliders? Yes. Like this fake ass, like holistic personality. That is what Jordy is to me.
Yes. So she's on this charter with her brother, Teft. Is his name Teft?
Teft, yeah.
Oh my God, Teft. Who is hot. I mean, it's like Jordy's in the attic, these two, okay? They're like clearly either fucking or like flirting or about to fuck. Both of them have too much Pornhub in their life and think that's totally normal. Like there is definitely something weird between those two. So those are the charter guests. And Jordy is now drinking all of a sudden and going a little too crazy and flirting with her brother too hard. And Aisha's like, oh my God, I hope it's not like Gremlins where they're nice and cute until they have a drink.
I think that's how we all are. I think like Gremlins is a parable for anyone who gets drunk, because we all are nice and cute until we start drinking. And we're like, hey, what's going on? How's it going? Hey, guess what's going on? And Taft, by the way, he goes, I'm named after Teft Sellers or something like that. And she goes, Jordy goes, no, you're named after mom's old fuck buddy from high school.
And we've also got two noobs on this. We've got the new chef, Knight. And Nate is like kind of cute, but he's got that... Fred Flintstone Barney Rubble beard.
Johnny Bananas, yeah.
Who is it?
He sort of has a Johnny Bananas look too, you know, from The Challenge.
Oh, I think he's way hotter than Johnny Bananas. No offense, Bananas.
But well, again, low bar.
It's yeah, like he's got this bar. Like weird Flintstone rubble stubble painted onto his face. It's odd. It's like all one shade. It's like not really stubble. It's just like drawn on. You know what I mean? So we've got him who's just thrown into this shithole of a kitchen. Doesn't know anything going on. And then they ask for 9 million things. And then you've got the new girl who's Taylor.
She's very Catherine McPhee-ish, right? She sort of has a Catherine McPhee kind of look. And I think Taylor's going to benefit from only being on for 1.5 charters, because I feel like if she had a full season, we would hate her.
Monster. She's got like robot. She's got robot sorority girl vibe. She's got like Tracy Flick kind of vibes, but then like Tracy Flick lets her hair down and she's like a soap opera villain, you know? So I think I would actually love to see a whole season of her.
I mean, she'd be great, but we would hate her. We'd love how much we'd hate her, but she's lucky because she'll be forgotten about. But if she had a whole season, we'd be like, oh God, she's terrible.
Yeah, but she definitely comes on like, pick flick. And she's like, well, I started working. My first boat was when I was 15 years old, and I just know how to do things. She's got this really tight smile, and her hair's pulled back really tight, and she's immediately bossing around to me. She's like, sorry, I just like delegating. Like,
I'm so used to delegating because I've been working on a boat with like 60s, and everything is like, oh my God, like this boat is like so different because on my boat, there's like three different breakfasts happening all at once. There's like the captain's breakfast, and there's the guests, and then there's the nanny breakfast, and I do all of it all at once because I've got 10 arms. Sorry, did I mention that part? I'm so used to talking about it.
Yeah. And she's talking to Brittini and, of course, Blythe. And so Brittini's like, so who do you like the most? And she's like, well, I've never had a good-looking captain before, but I would say the one closest to my type, Jamie. I'm like, oh, God, wow. You picked the hottest, most muscular one. I'm completely shocked. Also, he's terrible.
Yeah. I was like, wait till you find out that he is the worst. Okay. And then so then Jordy, meanwhile, the entire time while Jordy's on, she's like she's a very sad person, I feel like. She's like, yes, what's going on? And she's like very obsessed with Culver and Brittini. She's like, what's going on, pretty people? What's going on? What are you guys doing? Oh my God, how are you? And it feels almost like she's angling for a three-way, but you also get the sense that she's the sort of girl who, when there's a three-way, she then kicks the other girl out of the three-way. You know?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Yeah, she does this whole, she does this thing, the whole charter, where it's like she's trying to get Brittini together. I can't fucking Brittany. I'm sorry, Brittini, your name. Stop it with this. So she's trying, it's like she's trying to get them together, but then she's immediately going for Culver, like texting Culver, like, we're going out after the charter. What are we going to mean? And she shows up to where they're going out and then starts making out with him. And this is the night that Brittini has said she's going to tell Culver her feelings.
Well, Toomey is also gassing her up. Sorry, but Toomey is also gassing up Brittini. She's like, well, you've got to tell her what you feel. You've got to say it. I mean, Toomey, you know that he doesn't interest it. Why are you setting up Brittini for this? Because he's in there in the club with a bicycle helmet on, making out with Jordy, who, by the way, Jordy the previous night was topless with her brother in the hot tub, and then she FaceTimes her dad while topless with her brother.
Yes. And the dad's like, well, look at you two. They're like, fuck yeah, dad. And then she's like flashing her brother and like making crotch grabs at herself. She's like, yeah, like lifting her dress or cover. Oh, I mean, whatever it is. And everyone's like freaking out about it. Like, what the hell is going on with those two?
Yeah.
But I don't think that Toomey's really gassing her. I think she's just saying, like, if you like him, talk to him. Because all Brittini does is walk around the boat like, does he like me? Does he not? I think he likes me. I mean, we're going on a van together. He said he wants to take me home to the horse farm. Which is something Culver did, you know?
Yeah.
He's not overly leading her on, but he is very like, you should come to the farm that me and my family have. Because I bring girls home sometimes and... and they always like it. She's like, oh my God, he asked me the horse farm. And then she's looking online for a van that they could take together. And listen, the cast of Stranger Things would look at this van and be like, that is old. That is a beat down van. Okay.
Yeah. Culver is such, he's like a good old boy. And he really is. And he's like obsessed with his parents. He's like, oh, my mom, Kim, she just cooks me food all the time. Oh, my dad's calling. Isn't he the best? And basically, Culver is like, he's off his game right now. He's like sad. He took like breakfast after 40. He took a break 45 minutes after starting his shift. So now it's like, really, Culver? You were like, I mean, you weren't great, but you were pretty good most season. And now you're going to fall apart too? Like, is there anyone on this boat that can do their job? I just want to know, aside from Toomey.
Well, Culver is looked at, like, they keep saying Culver was the best deckhand. Well, yeah, but compare him to the other one.
Yeah.
And also, it's just because he's not getting called out on shit. If he was getting called out as much as everybody else, he would not be the best.
Yeah.
It's just he's been given the hot guy pass the whole time. Oh, my God. So what else happened in this? I said, oh, my God, like I had something else, but I forgot what it was. So let's see here. Culver.
Well,
Culver makes me nuts. He seems like a nice guy and stuff, but he makes me nuts because he says something like this. I'm about to sneak up on the kitschy poo and get me some egg whites. Yeah, that's right. Chef Kim would give me egg whites. That's my mom, but Chef Kim. Gotta miss Chef Kim. And Nate just goes, great. That's great.
This charter also had one of those very sad below deck parties where they're like, let's have like a white party. And so basically Benny reveals that he's DJ James Kennedy. And he's like, actually, I used to go down to St. Martin and I used to DJ. So I brought my DJ equipment on the boat. I'm like, why did you bring your DJ equipment on a yacht? So he starts playing. He's like, oh, I'm DJ Lazy Susan. And it's like six people dancing around a dinner table to Benny playing house music, probably. I was just like, oh, I always just get so sad whenever they do these dance parties.
Yeah, Benny, I'm not sure about his DJing in St. Martin, okay? I had a friend who used to go work on like a hippie commune there every summer, and I have a feeling it was something like that, where he's just like pressing play on his iPhone, like when they let him even hold it,
yeah,
and is calling himself a DJ. I'm not buying it. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... I feel like whenever you see those things where it's like there's like two things that look like turntables, but they're actually not turntables at all. I'm like, this is just a fancy thing where you press play. That's all this is.
Yeah, he's just pressing play, and then he's doing that thing where he just puts his hands in the air and jumps.
Yeah, over and cross dissolves. Like, we all know. We all get it. We see it, you know? Oh, there was also some drama because some other boat lost their tender somehow. So it's like, there's a tender. That we have to pick up the tender. We found your tender. We're going to do a drive-by, which then led to Jamie's favorite thing, which is, guys, this is very dangerous. Okay, you can't do that. Don't stand there. It's very dangerous. Okay, there's a tender coming. Be careful. It's a dangerous tender.
Tender rescues are very dangerous. Take it from me. He used to be a cop. You could die. Your foot could get caught in a rope. You could slip and fall. Someone could have a nail gun on the boat over trying to put a picture in, but it goes through the wall and into your head. A lot could happen on this. Trust me, I'm a police officer. By the way, I might be a pilot after this of helicopters, because there are a lot of boats that have helicopters land on them. So I could land the helicopter on the boat and then keep people safe on the helicopter and the boat. Many different ways I can go in my life.
And that way, once I learn how to ride a helicopter, when people call me bitch, I could then say, do you know that I learned how to ride a helicopter and you're going to call me bitch? I don't think so. That's really the way Ryan's doing it. And he's always wearing that, like, it's never explained, but like whenever it comes time to dock or something, he suddenly has this weird like harness on. And I'm like, why are you wearing that harness? It's dangerous. Got to wear a harness when you're standing on the back of the boat.
He's always ready to jump in the water. Didn't he have to jump in for something?
Well, there
he's
was like, one
watch
time.
Watch out, everybody. It's dangerous.
There were like people who were swimming, and they like went around a rock formation. You couldn't see them. So he took off his shirt and jumped in the water. And everyone's like, isn't the whole point of these shirts is that they wick away water? They're supposed to swim in them. But he's like, gotta take off me shit and save the people who are around the corner.
Oh gosh. So this episode basically ends with Brittini getting her heart broken because she sees Culver making out with Geordi. And it is a funny visual with him in that stupid disco helmet.
Yeah, well, and he's a disco helmet, and he's also wearing like an outdoor jacket or something. He's like wearing like a CB jacket and this disco helmet. And Geordi, and she's got her hat backwards. She's like, "Hey, what's going on? Like, we should make out." And he goes, "I think that'd be a great idea. Yeah, let that be great. Let's do that." I'm like, wow, the chemistry's off the charts.
But you know. There's so many below decks on the air one time. I can't, you know, like there was a line drawn in the sand. I kind of wish we'd recapped this one because it's been so much fun. But oh my God, slow down on the below decks, people. Okay. Let us enjoy it. Don't pound into the ground. People cleaning too much. Okay. Yeah. Stop. Like, give us a chance to breathe over here. But it is a really good show, and I'm glad I watched the season. I was cracking up the whole time.
I'm glad you watched it, too. And I do hope, I think it would be great if Toomey were recruited to be the head stew on Med. Because I think actually having Aisha as the chief stew on Below Deck Down Under was a really smart decision because everyone loves Aisha. And like, I mean, I always am like tickled every time she does like an Aisha thing. I think on this episode, some to me was like, do you mind if I go down and do some laundry? And she goes, I would love that. And like, every time she does that, I just am a crack up. Or like, there was one part where someone was like, hey, do you want this soda? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's over the top with everything. Yeah, someone's so, like, wow, can I hold the door open for you?
That is so sweet.
So I think that, like, you know, Below Deck and Below Deck Med have had a really hard time filling Hannah and Kate's shoes. And I think what they should do is recruit popular people, like people that we love. That's why I think Toomey would be great on Med, especially because she does the good tablescapes. I still don't know who can help regular Below Deck. But I think like they should do like the Summer House thing that they're doing where cross-pollinate amongst your franchises a little bit more. And because without a good chief stew, like the show really comes down to the chief stew, I think. Like the captain and the chief stew.
Yeah, well, it's the chef, the captain, the stew, and the bosun, you know? And I think on this one, it's working because they're all such characters, you know?
Yeah.
Jamie's an ass, but he's very entertaining. I mean, watching that guy almost go into tears over being called bitch was hilarious. Yeah. And Aisha's whole, like, wow, the chef can cook, he delivers, that's some big dick energy.
Yeah, it is good. And I think on Sailing Yacht, I mean, I think Daisy, Gary, Captain Glenn, and I think it was smart they brought back Colin, because I think actually Colin, as much as we make fun of how no one pays attention to Colin, he is like a grounding force that's like really good on the show. And I think the four of them are so good on Below Deck Sailing Yacht. I just want the other two, Med and Regular, to like find their balance again.
Yeah, agreed. So we'll see, everybody, but super fun show. Glad we got a chance to watch it, talk about it.
Well, both. And everyone, thank you so much for being here and for listening. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the show. Just go on to our social media. We're at Watch What Crappens on Instagram or at What Crappens on Twitter. And you can, you know, tell us what you think as well. We'd love to hear from you guys. And if you hear this in time, we are doing Take a Seat tonight. And that's on Spotify Live at 10 o'clock on the East Coast. If you miss it, it's on the, it's like on Spotify on demand. So just like check it out there. But we hope you join us because it's always so fun. So hope to see you there or at least on the next episode. Until then, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels,
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Paging Paige Mills, Paging Paige Mills.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She leaves us in stitches, it's Catherine Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen, the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet.